All right, Javosai, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is daf samich. We are picking up at the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Tes Amud Beis. Beautiful, beautiful Gemara ahead of us today. I want to thank Rav Kalman and Akiva for giving a shir yesterday. And incredible Yashar Koach. Our shir this morning is dedicated by our Talmud Torah sponsors, Josh and Becker Friedman, the Eloi Nishmas, Yisrael Yehuda ben Rav Chaim Rafael, and Semi Malka Esterson, in memory of their parents, Yitzchok Leib ben Aaron HaKohen, Sarah Rachel Bas Baruch, and Hinda Bas Henech Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah, and the families a Nechama. And I will say with that, let us begin. It's hard to believe that we are within 2 weeks, Mirat Hashem, of finishing Shas. Quite incredible. So these are mamish, the final dapim of this machzor of Shas. Incredible. Says the Mishnah, Hishila chaluka lenachris olenida. If woman goes ahead and lends her garment, she lends her chaluka. Chaluka means a cloak. She lends her garment to a Gentile or to a nida. So we're going to see what this means in just a moment. Hareza tolabas. So what's the case? The case is a woman, we'll call her Rachel, goes ahead and lends out her garment to another woman, either who is not Jewish or who is a nida. When Rachel gets the garment back, then what occurs? She finds a stain on the garment. So the Mishnah tells me that halacha lemaisa, Rachel could attribute the stain to the woman to whom she lent the garment. That woman being either a nida or a Gentile woman. What's the logic over here? So take a look at Rashi. This is really quite fascinating. Hareza tola, Rashi says, utahora. Therefore, both say, when Rachel, now remember again, the case, just so you appreciate it, is when does Rachel find the stain on the garment? When does she find it? After she wore it, right? So remember again, the progression over here is Rachel has a garment, she lends it to another woman, either that, and that other woman is either not Jewish or a nida. Rachel gets the garment back, she wears it, she takes it off, and she discovers a stain on that garment. What the Mishnah is saying, halacha lamaisa, is that she could attribute that kesem, that stain, to the woman to whom she lent the garment. Look at Rashi, hareza tola, this is incredible, utahora. And therefore, Rachel is tahora. Why? Dechevan denidehi lo mekalkalamidi. Vinachris nami temeya vitalya ba. So what's the idea that the Mishnah is saying? Is Rachel, the owner of the garment, could attribute the kesem to another woman as long as the attribution does not compromise the other woman. I will say, as we're going to see in this sugi, is as follows, that when you have doubt as to where the kesem originated, so lamaisa, you could be tola it, as long as being tola it somewhere does not compromise the source of the taliyah. So for example, in this situation, if Rachel were to attribute it to one of these two women to whom she lent it out, either the nida or to the nachris or to the non-Jewish woman, does the attribution of the kesem to the nida or to the nachris in any way compromise those women? And the answer is no. The nida is what? Already a nida, right? And the nachris, the non-Jewish woman, it makes no difference anyway. So therefore, again, what the Mishnah is telling you is where there is the possibility of attribution without going in and compromising the woman to whom you are attributing it to, that type of attribution works. Masha Enkein, Rashi says, Aval Yisraelis Tahora, Sheshalu Chalok Mechaberta Tahora, so we'll say this is going to be opposed to a case where, let's say, Rachel lends her garment to Leah, and Leah is also a tahora, and then Rachel gets the garment back. Rachel wears it, and afterwards discovers a kesem. So we'll say in that kind of case, so we're going to have a problem because lamaisa there, it's not clear exactly who to attribute it to. And al safek, we'll see, you have to attribute it to both of them. So we'll get to that in Gemara. So it says, back to the Mishnah. Gimel nashim shalavshu chalak echad. Three women who wore the same garment. O shiyashla safsal echad. Or they sat on the same bench. And Abba say, what happened? V'nim tsa'alav dam. Now afterwards, again, at some point in time, either on the garment or on the bench, they found blood. So what's the halacha? Kulan tmeo. So we'll say in this case over here, you can't attribute it to any one person. Why? Because again, I'll say pretty much they all have the same status. Attribution is not possible. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, they will all be tmeos. Yashvu al safsal shal evan. Oh, ala itztava shel merchatz. So we'll say, but if she sat on a bench of stone or on the ledge of the bathhouse, Shabbos says, so in this case, the previous case, when we spoke about a safsal, we are presupposing that the safsal is made of wood and therefore makabel tumah. In this case over here, the safsal, the edge of the bath, is made of stone. Stone is not makabel tumah. Therefore, again, Rabbi Nechemiah says, in this kind of case, where you find a stain on the safsal, on the bench, or on the edge of the bathtub, or the edge of the bathhouse. We have a bathtub. So ultimately, Rabbi Nechemiah says, everybody in question is tahar. Why? Because Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, called davar she'eno mekabel tumah, eno mekabel ksamim. Because Rabbi Nechemiah says, we'll say, anything that is not mekabel tumah is not mekabel ksamim. Rabbi Nechemiah says, we know we've spoken about that before. This is perhaps, not perhaps, this is a very important halacha when it comes to the halachos of ksamim, that anything that is not mekabel tumah, by definition, is not mekabel ksamim. Rabbi Nechemiah, I think we spoke about this last week, right? Did I tell you about this last week? This is the idea by Rav Moshe, right? Rav Moshe Paskin is that therefore, again, when a woman sees blood on toilet paper, ultimately, again, it does not cause an hukos nida problem, which is an incredible psak halacha, because again, toilet paper is not a kli, it's not mekabel tumah, and therefore, again, not mekabel ksamim. So very, very important halacha. Good, says the Gemara. Amar Rav. So Rav says, b'nochris haroa, top of samech. So we'll say, when we say that Rachel lends her garment, right? Rachel lends her garment, and she lends it to a non-Jewish woman. She gets it back from the non-Jewish woman. Rachel wears it, and afterwards discovers a stain. So what did we say? That Rachel could attribute that stain to the nochris. Rav comes along and Rav says, when is that so? When it's a nochris, ultimately, again, who's a gedola, right? And she becomes an ida. As Rashi says, Haroa, Shegdolahi Viadina Badikvarasa. When can you attribute it to a nachas, Rabosai? When we know for sure that the nachas is a woman who menstruates. When we know for sure that she's old enough and she does become a nida. So the Gemara says, Mima, how do I know this? Dumya dinida. Mani de kachazia af nachras de kachazia. Because we also remember again the Mishnah mentions nachras and nida. And just like a nida is a woman who has, right, who experiences menstruation. So to the nachras in question over here is a woman who experiences menstruation. So we'll say, Amar Rav Sheshas. Rav Sheshas says, he is incredible. Kinayim v'shachir Rav Amar l'hashmaita. Rav was half asleep when he said this. Which means I disagree, right? I disagree. Disanya. Tola benachris. Tola benachris. Because Mishnah says, the Raisa says as follows, that in this case over here, where Rachel lends out, he will say, by the way, it's actually very interesting. You know, sometimes you wonder, we've seen that type of expression before, you would wonder, it seems so coarse. Right, it seems like, you know, in general, so today, like teachers are often conditioned. You never, chas v'shalom, want to make someone feel foolish, even when they say something really stupid. Right? So we'll say so, right? Even if it's like, that was a great question. I was like, wow, that's so smart. Or the classic reframe, what you really mean to say, right, is this. So it's interesting that you see in the Gemara, both say, but it teaches you a very valuable lesson. In the world of Torah, we are conditioned to think before we speak. And just because you think it doesn't mean you say it. And just because it sounds intelligent as it's whirling around in your brain doesn't actually mean it has any shred of intelligence attached to it. Right? The goal in the world of Torah is to formulate your thoughts before you express them verbally. Is to hash it out inside before you let it come out. Because Talmud Torah, It's supposed to be a precision science. So the goal is think whatever you want, but before you express something, make sure that you've worked it through to some degree. So that's why you'll see, ultimately, for example, in this case over here, where Rav Sheshes really feels that, like, Rav is being reckless in his statement, and Rav Sheshes really feels that Rav is not saying something, Rav must have said this while you're... In other words, you weren't thinking before you said this, because if you were thinking, you would never have uttered this idea. So he goes on, he says, Disanya, because I want to say, the Braisa says as follows, Tola benachris, because the Braisa says that ultimately what, he goes ahead, and if again, same case, Rachel lends out the garment, and she goes ahead, puts it back on, afterwards finds a stain, she could attribute it to the Gentile woman that she lent it to. Rabbi Meir Omer, benachris haru'uya liros. And Rabbi Meir said that what? Rabbi Meir says, who is this? A nochris haru'uya liros. So we'll say, what's ru'uya? Ru'uya means she's reached the age where technically she could become a nida. Has she become a nida? We don't know. We'll say, see, here's the fundamental machlokas. You see, this is why Rav Sheshes didn't like this. Because Rav is saying that when could Rachel attribute the blood, the stain on her garment, ultimately to a nachris? When could she attribute it? When? So Rav was saying, only when mamish roa, when she's a gedola, and we know that she is someone who becomes a nida. Rabbi Meir comes along and says, no, ru'uya. And I will say, ru'uya is a much lower bar. Rashi says, ru'uya liros, shegiyu yimei hanu'urim. Once she reaches age, so we'll say, Pashtus, who would this refer to? We would assume this would refer to a 12-year-old girl, right? Once a girl is 12 years old, she's Ru'uya. She's Ru'uya. Is she menstruating at 12 years old or not? Maybe yes, maybe no. But Lamaisa, she's Ru'uya for it. So the Gemara says, "Afilu Rabbi Meir lo kamar ella beru'uya liros." And even Rabbi Meir only holds ultimately that she has to be Ru'uya. Aval Ro'a lo itzterech. But she need not actually have reached the threshold of Ro'a. So we'll say, you hear the distinction over here? There is Ro'a and Ru'uya Liros. Ro'a means she literally, we know that this is a woman who menstruates. That's Ro'a. Ru'uya means she's at the age where, technically speaking, a girl, right, or a woman could begin to menstruate. Whether she is or not, we have no idea. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rava v'tizbara, Rabbi Meir l'chumra." They both say, now it sounds like over here that Rabbi Meir is more machmir, right, and Rav is more mekel, right? Rav is saying Roa, Rabbi Meir is saying afilo, right, Ru'uya liros, which is even a younger age. So the Gemara says, "V'tizbara, Rabbi Meir l'chumra." Do you think Rabbi Meir is being machmir? No. Rabbi Meir l'kula. No, please be clear. Rabbi Meir's sheet is actually the more makel one. How so? This sanya, eino tola benachris. The Braisa says that if Rachel lends out her garment to a non-Jewish woman, gets it back, then finds a stain on it after she wears it, she cannot attribute it to a Gentile, to the woman she lent it to. Rabbi Meir Omer tola. Rabbi Meir says, yes, she can. Which of us represents a kula? Ve'ela kashiach taritzachi. Ve'hi sheroa. Shvihi sheroa. Rabbi Meir Omer beru'uya liros v'afra pi she'ina roa. So we'll say, see here, so therefore the Gemara explains that in fact Rabbi Meir, saying differently, Rabbi Meir ultimately, again, is really the Chumra, that Rabbi Meir is saying, afilu ru'uya liros. So we'll say, it's a fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Meir and Rav. So we'll say, here's what we know. Rachel has a garment, she lends it out to her Gentile friend. She gets it back, she wears it, and after she wears it, she finds a stain on the garment. What's the Shaila? Who does this stain belong to? Does this stain belong to Rachel, in which case, again, she's going to potentially be a Nida? Or does this stain belong to the Gentile friend that she lent it out to? Shabbos says, what does this depend on? Machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rav. Both will say it depends. Rav will say it depends on what? Is this a woman who is the Gentile friend a Roa? I will say, Roa means what? So ultimately, again, she's a Gedola, and we know for sure that this is a woman who gets her period, right? Rabbi Meir says, no. She need not be that old, right? She need not be that old. Rather what? Even someone who has potentially reached the age when she can become a Nida, whether we know she becomes a Nida or not is irrelevant, as long as she's reached that age threshold. So Pasha will say that would refer to who? Even a girl who's 12 years old, who 12 years old and 6 months, right, who could technically at that point in time become a Nida, whether we know she becomes a Nida or not is irrelevant. So we'll say machlokes between whether we need the Nachris to be Roa, actively someone who sees, or Ru'uya Liros. So we'll say now, based on that machlokes, we're kind of going to open this up to a number of similar types of cases, which are really quite fascinating. Tanu Rabbanan, Tola b'shameres yom kineged yom, b'shini shala, u'b'safares shiva shalo tavla. So listen to this very interesting case. So same idea. Rachel has a garment. She lends it out to a friend of hers. She gets it back. She wears it. And after she wears it, she finds a stain on it. So of course, if you're Rachel, what do you want to be able to do? What do you want to do if you're Rachel? You want to be able to attribute this to someone else, right? That of course, is the goal, right? Therefore, Rachel remains Tahora, and she can attribute the kesem to her friend. So now, Basi, listen to this interesting Braisa. So the Braisa says as follows. If her friend, Rachel's friend, is someone who is Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom B'Sheni Shela. So Basi, remember again, if a woman has an emission, right? If a woman has an emission, and ultimately, again, so remember, let's say she has one day of emission. What's the halach of the woman who has a one-day emission? So she's what's called Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom. So just for argument's sake, she has an emission on Sunday. She's not in her Nida period, so it's a Zivos, right? It's a Zav emission, a Zava emission. So we'll say, what's the halach of a woman who has one emission? So remember again, she has to observe one clean day corresponding to every day she had an emission. So for example, if she has an emission on Sunday, right? So therefore, what Monday has to be a clean day? She goes to the mikvah sometime on Monday, and come Monday night, she's Tahora. Right? She's Tahora. So we'll say, the Braisana says as follows. If the woman who she lent to is a Shomeres Yom Kineged Yom, and she lent the garment to her friend on Monday, right? On Monday, the friend had the garment on Monday. Rachel gets it back sometime on Monday. She could attribute the kesem to her friend. Now, I will say now, the ramifications for the friend is what? If we're attributing the kesem to the friend, then what's the ramification of that? Right? Then Allah Chalamai said that means the friend bled on Monday. The friend bled on Monday. If the friend bled on Monday, then what? Monday won't count. The friend will have to what? Observe Tuesday and go to the mikvah Tuesday night, right? Or, for example, ubisoferes shiva shelo tavla. Or Rabbi say, for that matter, if the friend is observing shiva nekiyim, let's say the friend was a zava gedola, and she's observing 7 clean days. Rachel lent the garment to her one of the 7 clean days. Rachel gets it back. The garment has a kesem. We'll attribute the kesem to who? To the friend in the shiva nekiyim. Now, if you attribute the kesem to the friend in the shiva nekiyim, then what happens? What happens? The shiva nekiyim are done, and the friend has to begin the shiva nekiyim again. So Rabbi say, listen to this. Therefore, lefichach, he mitukenes is good news and bad news. What's the good news? The good news is Rachel's fine, right? What's the bad news? The friend is not. So Rabbi say, listen to this. Divrei Reb Shimon Gamliel. These are the words of Reb Shimon Gamliel. So Rabbi say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, if you look at the end of Rashi, b'sheni shela, va'af agav de mekalkala porta de tzvicha lishmar yom ha'macharas, kevan de tmiash. So we'll say, Rav Shimon Gamliel's logic is like this. What's his logic? Let's analyze this for just a moment. So we'll say, here's the case. This is really quite fascinating. So Rachel has a garment. She lends it to her friend, right? One of two friends. Friend A is Shemaras Yom Keneged Yom. She's observing her clean day before she goes to the mikvah, just to go ahead, in order to go ahead and get to... She's observing her clean day, right? Friend 2 is in the middle of Shiva Nekiyim. Rachel gets the garment back, right? Wears the garment, takes it off, finds that there's a stain on it. What does Rav Shimon Gamliel say? What does Rav Shimon Gamliel say? Who could she attribute the stain to? Let's analyze. Who? To her friends, right? Either to the Shemaras Yom Keneged Yom, right? Who's on her Tara day, who's on her Monday, or... Oh, the woman who's in the middle of the Shiva Nekiyim. Then I was say, what's Rav Shimon Gamliel's logic? What's his logic? These women are what, Rabosai? These women are what? Already Tmeos. Right? Think about it, right? The right woman number one, who had a mission on Sunday and is observing her clean day on Monday, she's still technically Tmeo. Woman in her Shiva Nekiyim, still technically Tmeo. If there's a choice between who should we attribute the stain to, Rachel, what's Rachel's status? What's Rachel's status, Rabbi Say? Rachel, as far as we know, before she understands, is totally Tahora. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, listen, we have two women. One is Tamea. Granted, the Tamea woman is where? It's very interesting. The Tamea woman is where? Right? She's in the middle of her Tara status, or in the middle of her Tara process. But despite being in the middle of her Tara process, she is still what? Technically, what's her status? She's Tamea. So therefore, if it's a choice between attributing the stain to the woman who's already Tamea, granted in her Tara process, or to Rachel, who, as far as we know, is totally Tahora, we're going to what? Attribute the stain to the Tamea. Even though in this case, when you attribute the stain to the Tamea woman, what are you doing, Abosai? What are you doing? You're compromising her. Right? You are compromising her. This is very important. So remember, again, for the Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, she's now going to have to observe Tuesday. For the woman in Shiva Nekiyim, Abosai, this could potentially mean what? I mean, not potentially. It means starting all over, depending on where she is in her Shiva Nekiyim, ultimately determines how severe that is. Incredible. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, no. Eino tola. Rabbi says, sorry. In this case over here, we are not tola. We are not tola. Rabbi says, why not? Look at Rashi. Rabbi Omer, eino tola. Hoil umekalkila la, maichazis dimekalkeles lahach, tfemehach. So we'll say, Rabbi says, I'm all for attribution. Big fan of attribution. When what? When the woman to whom you are attributing the kesem to is not compromised through the attribution, like in the case of the Mishnah, where the woman is a Nida, or the woman is a Gentile, there's no problem with attribution. In these cases over here, when you attribute this kesem to the woman who Shemaras Yom Keneged Yom, or to the woman who's in the middle of Shem Nekir, we'll say, what are you doing? What are you doing? You are sacrificing one woman for the benefit of the other. Rabbi says, sorry, we don't do that. We don't do that. Now, we'll say, interestingly enough, so what's the result of not doing that? Lefichach. We'll say, in the absence of the ability to attribute the kesem, we'll say, what happens? Shteya mikukalos. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, it's not like, you know, so, but Rebbe says, So you both say, this is not a matter of like, Rebbe saying, in the app, so I can't attribute the stain to one woman or the other, because attribution to one is by definition compromising her. So Rebbe is saying, in the ability to attribute says what? They're both suspect for the kesef, and therefore what? They're both mechukal. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, Rebbe's outcome seems a bit counterintuitive to his logic, right? His logic is, how can we compromise one person at the expense of the other? Therefore, we'll say the result is, they're both meal. So we'll say, but that's not counterintuitive. That's just the progression. Let's tell you something. This is the beauty of learning together over the course of a prolonged time, right? We even know our sneezing habits, right? This is mamish, like, I want to point out. So Rebbe's logic is, once I can't attribute it, then by definition, they are all suspect. So we'll say, so this, I just want to point out, this is a dramatic machlokes. So you have Rebbe saying, we're going to attribute it to the woman who is Tamea, even though I know that at the end of the day, by attributing it to her, ultimately you do compromise her. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, attribution is only permitted when attribution doesn't compromise the woman to whom the kesem is being attributed to, like the case in the Mishnah of the Nida and the Nachris. But to compromise one woman at the expense of the other, that we won't do. Therefore, Shteyam Mikul Kolos. We'll say, watch this. Vishavin.
Shteyam, the owner of the garment and the other one.
Correct. Remember again, there's not three women in this case. There's only two women in this case. Just the woman to whom it's being lent to. Those are one or two possibilities, right? Rachel is a fixture in this case. When we say thank you, we say Shteyam Mikul Kolos. It's Rachel and whoever she lent it to. And again, there's just two possibilities as to who she lent it to. Either the woman who shemesom keneged yom, or the woman who is counting shivin nekiyim. Thank you. Vishavin. But both Rebbe Rosh Hashem will agree that what? Shetolin b'shomeras yom keneged yom b'rishon shala, u'b'yosheves al dam toar, u'b'psula shedameha torim. But both Rebbe Rosh Hashem will agree that what? That if Rachel lent it to a woman, she will say, for example, Shemar Yom Keneged Yom, Berishon Shalah is what case? Rachel lent it to a Jewish woman, and this woman had an emission on Sunday. And when did Rachel lend the garment to her? Sunday. And when did Rachel get it back from her? Sunday. And when does Rachel wear the garment? You see where this is going? Sunday. And when does she take it off? Sunday. When does she find the KSM? Sunday. So everybody will agree that if Rachel finds the garment on Sunday, that she could attribute it to him and she lent it to. Why? Why? Because that attribution doesn't what? Doesn't compromise that woman at all. Similarly, again, if Rachel lent it to a woman who had given birth and is in the middle of her Dam Tohar days, right? Ultimately, again, attributing it to that woman, Rabbi Osei, doesn't what? Doesn't compromise her. Why? Because Dam Tohar doesn't compromise a woman. Dam Besulim, we're going to get to that case in a little bit. Rabbi Osei, interestingly enough, what the Gemara is just saying over here is even Rebbe will agree that in a case where you could attribute it to the woman you lent it to, without compromising that woman's status, Einah Chinami, of course, will attribute it in that case. Lefichach. So the Gemara says, by the way, Lefichach to Rabbi Shimon Lamali. So we'll say, why do I need the Lashon of Lefichach of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Mishum de Rebbe. That's just in order to make it symmetrical to the memory of Rebbe. Lefichach de Rebbe Lamali. Why do I need the Lashon of Lefichach by Rebbe? Because I'll tell you why. Mao de Tema, Hahi Dishtachach Kesem Gaba Tiskalkel, Idach Lo Tiskalkel. Because I'm going to thought just the most intuitive approach over here is, if Rebbe says that you can't attribute blood to a woman if it's going to compromise her, then the most logical outcome would be what, Rebbe say, who should become Tamea? The woman who found the kesem, right? Wouldn't that be like the most logical default? If you found it, it's yours, right? Rachel, you took off the garment, you found it on the garment, it's your stain. V'idach lo tiskalkel, and the presence of the kesem shouldn't impact the woman to whom the garment was lent. Kamashwal, no. The kamashwal that Rebbe holds, that halacha lamaisa, not only the woman who finds it, but the woman who borrowed it also is milkul kelas. So Amar Rav Chisra, we'll say, along these same logic, we'll say these are fascinating cases. Tamei v'tar, shahalcho b'shnei shevilin. We'll say this is so profound. A person who is tamei, and a person who is tar, they went on two paths. Echot, it was not a metaphor. Echot tar ve'echot tameh. One path is tar, one path is tameh. And what Rabbi was saying? What's the only problem? We don't know who went on which path. So here's what I know. In this case, Rabbi was saying, Reuven and Shimon, I know that Reuven, now again, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is Tame, Shimon is Tar. That I know definitively. That I know definitively. They each take a path, right? Two paths. I know that one path is Tame, one path is Tar. Definitive, right? I know that I know definitively that one path is Tame, one path is Tar. I just don't know what, which path Reuven took and which path Shimon took. So the Gemara says, "Barnei Machlokis, Rabbi Reb Shimon Gamliel." So Rabbi said, "This would apparently be the Machlokis of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Why? What would happen? Look at Rashi. Barnei Machlokis, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Damer Tolin Kesem B'Shemeres Yom, Hachanami Tolin Shvil Tame Ba'Adam Tame Vitar Bitar." Or the Rabbi Shteim Tinas. So Rabbi said, "B'Pashlus, we would see like this: Rabbi who says that what will you go ahead and you normally what attribute Tuma to a person who is Tame? So Rabbi would say, well, for halachic purposes, we assume that Reuven, who is Tamei, went down the path that is Tamei. Shimon, who is Tar, went down the path that is Tar. Because that's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Lishitaso. He says, Rabbi say that essentially, we assume that Tuma attracts Tuma, Tara attracts Tara, in cases of Sigs. That's how we line it up. Rabbi, on the other hand, says, no. Ultimately, again, if you don't know, you don't know. And therefore, Shteim Tameim. To which the Gemara says, Maskif la Ravada, Maskif la Ravada Barava. So Ravada says, I don't know that you could line up the two cases. Ad kan lo kama Rebbe hasam ela de tarvaya ki adadi ninhu. See, Ravada says, Rebbe says like this. You see, the truth is, in the case ultimately, again, where I say they're both Tameos, that's because to a certain degree, both women are the same. So Ravada says, listen to this. You see, Rebbe says something very interesting. In the case of the Kesem, Ravada says, both women are the same. Why? Because technically speaking, both of them have a cheskas tara. Now remember, Rabbi said, what was the case? Rachel lends out a garment. What's Rachel's status? Tar. Who does she lend it out to? Right? One of two women. Woman number one was who? Right? A woman who was shomeres yom keneged yom. She had her remission on Monday, and she's now observing her tara day on, I'm sorry, remission on Sunday. She's observing her tara day when? On Monday. Woman, or possibility, who else does she lend it out to? Another woman? Possibility? Shivanakiyim. So Rabbi says like this. In fact, interesting for both saying, all of these women have a cheskes tara. Right? They're all in their tar state. Now Rachel is objectively tar. The other two women, Rabbi say, are in the process of tara. So Rabbi will say, that's ultimately, again, where I espouse my particular position, that you can't attribute to one of these women over the other because they are all tahoros. However, hacha manafgalan mina. Rabbi say, but in this case over here, remember, in this case, Reuven is Tameh, Shimon is Tahar. Rabbi will say, in this case where Reuven is definitively Tameh, I would agree that what? Make it that what? That Reuven is the one who went down the Tameh path. Why? Because it makes no difference. He's Tameh anyway. So since he's Tame anyway, just attribute that to him. Rav Chista will say, Sof ihi tevilabai. So Rav Chista, listen to this. Rav Chista says, I don't know, Rebbe. I don't know if it's so clear to say that a woman who shomeres yom keneged yom, or a woman who is shiv nekiyim, is tahora. She's not tahora. She's not tahora until when? Until when? Until she goes to the mikvah. Now, it's true that she's in the process of tara, but to say that she's tahora is not totally true. We'll say next case. Itmar, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Tamei Vitar, let's listen to this, person who's Tamei and a person who's Tar, Vafilu Tahar, Vitaloi, or even a person, Rabbi Yossi, who is Tar, and another person who is Suffolk Tamei, Shaholchu B'Shnei Shavilin, who walked down two paths, Echa Tamei V'Echa Tar, one path is Tamei, one path is Tar. So Rabbi Yossi, what's that halacha? Tola Tamei Vitaloi, Vitar, L'Divrei Hakol. So Rabbi Yossi, what's that halacha? We go ahead and we attribute the tummy path ultimately again to the person who's even suffic tummy, and the tar path to the tar, the divrei akol. Why is the divrei akol? Rashi says, "Va'afil the Rabbi k'daminan dehasam hu dechi hadadi ninu aval hacha de taloi tummy misafek v'tar tar gamar talin tuma betalei." So we'll say ultimately again, because it seems to be that the only time that Rebbe holds that halacha l'maisa, we can't attribute anything to anyone, is in a case where the two individuals involved in the situation are have an identical status. But when, and Rebbe essentially holds that a woman who is a shomeres yom keneged yom, observing her clean day, and a woman who is in the midst ultimately again of shiv nekiyim, is tahora. Rebbe looks at her halachically like she is Tahora. Therefore, in that case, they are no different than Rachel, who is objectively Tahora. But even Rebbe will agree that in these kind of cases, Rabosai, where one of the people, when they're walking down the paths, one of the people is Tameh, or at least Safik Tumah, the two people are not the same. And therefore, when the two people are not the same, Enochinami, you have the ability to go ahead and attribute the Tameh path to the Tameh individual. Quite incredible, Rabosai. So therefore, what comes out is a very important principle, which is, when does ambiguity occur, Rabosai? According to Rebbe's models, when does ambiguity occur? When the two people in question are the same. Then Rebbe will say, you can't assign a compromised status to one person over the other when status-wise they are the same. But halacha l'maisa, status-wise they are not the same, then enochinam, you could assign the compromised status to the individual who is compromised and the tahara status to the individual who is tahar. Quite incredible. Next case. Ma'al litlos kesem bekesem. So Moshe, listen to this interesting case. What happens? So Rachel, same case Rachel. Rachel goes ahead and lends out her garment to Leah. Now, interestingly enough, Leah is a Nida. She's a Nida. And the way she became a Nida, how? Is through a kesem. Look at Rashi, kesem bekesem. Hishila chaluka labailas a kesem ba'acha kach lavashtei. Ma'o shetid la birishon alios hitor. I'm supposed to listen to this. So Rachel is totally Tahora. She lends her garment to Leah. Leah's a Nida. How did Leah become a Nida, by the way? Through a kesem, through a stain, right? So Rachel lends the garment to Leah, gets it back from Leah, wears it, takes it off, and afterwards discovers a stain. So Rabbi says, now what's the shaila? Can Rachel attribute that stain to Leah, who is not only a Nida, but what? A Nida through Ksamim. Did she attribute it? To which the Gemara says, Aliba de Rabbi lo tibay lecha. So Rabbi says, according to Rabbi, there's no shaila. Why? Hashta uma hasam de kachazia migufa. Amrit enotola. Hacha de me'ama ka'asi lo kol shekin. So Rabbi says, look at Rashi. Rashi says over here. I'm sorry, not yet. So according to Rabbi, in that case over here, Mahash the Hasam the Chazim Gufa. So I'll say, even in a case where a woman was actually had an emission from her own body, yet Rabbi said she can't be Tola. In this case over here, where it's possible that it came from outside, certainly she can't be Tola. Kial Kiti Bailacha. Where does the Shaila come up? Aliba de Rav Shimon Gamliel. What's the kind of Rav Shimon Gamliel? Remember again, Rav Shimon Gamliel was of the opinion that what? That Halacha Lamaisa. Halacha l'maisa, you can ultimately attribute, Rachel could attribute it to the woman she lent it out to. So the Gemara says, watch this. Hasam hu dekachazia migufa, talya. Halcha de me'ama ka'asi, lo talya. So we'll say, in general, again, when it comes to ksamim, so ksamim in generally, when you find them, ultimately, again, sometimes they could be attributable to outside sources. So what would we say in this particular situation? So do we say, ultimately, again, lo talya, therefore she cannot attribute it, o dilma, lo shna, or perhaps it makes no distinction. Amarle, ein tolin. Ultimately, again, he said that halacha l'maisa, in this case, Rabbi say Rachel cannot be tola bekesem on Leah who she lent it out to. Matam, Rabbi say, what's the reason for this? Lefi she'ain tolin. Rabbi say, ultimately, again, what's the reason we do we say ain tolin? Because we say ain tolin. Rabbi says, look at Rashi. Lefi she'ain tolin. Deme alma asila tumas kesem kama v'lo becheskas roahi. Because Rabbi say, ultimately, again, because the whole yisod of ksamim is ultimately one in which, I will say, remember, part of the kula of ksamim is the ability to be tolit on something else. Therefore, in this case over here, when Rachel gets back the garment, she cannot go ahead and be tolit it on Leah. Good? From ksamim. Says the Gemara. Hishila chaluka lenachris, oli yosheves ala kesem, hareze toleba. So we'll say, here's the problem. We have another braisa. The braisa is if a woman lends out her garment to a Gentile or to another woman who is Yosheves, who has become Tameh as a result of the Kesem. So ultimately, again, we'll call her Rachel, the owner of the garment, can attribute the stain to these other women. I hagu fakasha, but that's an inherent contradiction. Reisha amrit ein tolin, seifa amrit tolin. According to the Reisha, he said, you can't attribute it. Now the Seifa says, you can't attribute it. So what's going on over here? Lo kasha. Rabbi Harav Shem Gamliel. Both say two different opinions. Remember again, Rabbi is the one who says he can attribute it. Rabbi Shem Gamliel is the one who says you can't attribute it. I'm sorry, just the opposite. Rebbe is one who says you cannot attribute it. Ultimately, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel says you can attribute it. So we'll say, so therefore, the two different parts of the Braisa reflect two different opinions. Ikud, I mean, another possibility is Havaha Rebbe. Both reflect the opinion of Rebbe. Ha Barishon Shala. Ha Bishini Shala. Ultimately, let's look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi Bishini Shala. Eina Tola. So we'll say, so again, when can you be told it ultimately again on a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom? If you're seeing it on the first day when she had the emission, then you could attribute it in the Shomeres Yom. If you're getting the Chalukah back on the second day, where technically speaking she already has a Cheskas Tara, then you would not be permitted to be told it on her. V'har b'shem v'yo. So the Gemara says, Ikudamri ha d'ha v'ha rebihi, ha b'risho shalah b'shin yishela, Ravashi yamar, ha v'ha b'shem v'yo. Or what's the other possibility is both reflective of b'shem v'yo, v'lo kash, it's not a contradiction, amad v'yis, kan l'mafreya, kan l'haba. What's the interesting distinction? One is talking about ultimately again retroactively, and one is talking about going forward. Look at Rashi, kan l'mafreya, lini tumas mafreya tolin. Ultimately again, for the retroactive tuma will be tola. Dilom kalkul l'bahachi, v'lo t'tami l'mafreya. So we'll say, so for example, ultimately again, the braisa that says, or the part of the braisa that says that halacha l'maisa, she could be tola. That's l'mafreya. That we will not be metame any taras based on this. The braisa that said ultimately again that she cannot be tola and therefore she's tameya. That's ultimately again lahaba. Miko makom kasha. Am Rabbi Nala kasha. This is what it means to say hishil chaluka lenachris balas kesem. If Rachel lent her garment to a nachris balas kesem, Abosai who herself experienced staining, harei zeh tola ba. Ultimately, again, the Rachel could attribute the staining to the Nachris. Vaha Oli Yosheves ala kesem katani. But it says the lashon is Oli Yosheves ala kesem, which sounds like a separate case. Hachi Gamliel, this is what it means to say Oli Yosheves al dam toar. Or Rabbi say, for that matter, if Rachel lent her garments, ultimately again to a woman who is Yosheves al dam toar, or Baalas kesem toleba. Then ultimately, again, the Baalas Kesem, meaning the woman who finds the Kesem on the garment, ultimately, again, can be Tola in her. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, what this comes down to is a fundamental machlokes ultimately between Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Namely, halacha lemaisa, what do I do in the case? So in other words, we'll say, let's take a step back. All of this comes to a fundamental, yesodistic machlokes in attribution. When can you attribute the kesem to someone else? And I will say the bottom line, halacha lemaisa, is that ultimately, again, you could only go ahead and attribute a stain when halacha lemaisa does not compromise the woman to whom you are attributing it to. So in any case where Rachel goes ahead and lends out the garment, gets the garment back, finds a stain on it, can she attribute it to the woman to whom she lent it? Yes. As long as that does not compromise the woman to whom it is being lent. Rabbi says, so for example, what cases fall into that category? Rachel lends out her garment to Leah. And Leah is a nida, right? In the middle of her 7 days of nidos, Rachel gets the garment back. Where's it? Finds the stain. Rabbi says, what's the halacha? What's Rachel's status? You be the posek. What's Rachel's status? Tahora. Why? She can attribute the stain to who? To Leah, because she's a nida. And why can she attribute the stain to Leah? Because that attribution doesn't compromise Leah. Why doesn't it compromise Leah? Because she is already a nida. Now, let's remember again, this isn't biblical nida, where she's just observing 7 days, there's no shiv in a kiyam. Right? They both say similarly, Rachel lends out her garment to a nochris, to a giant Gentile woman, right? Who is, let's say, let's say, because remember, we accept Rabbi Ravs, who is a roa, right? A woman who is in the state of active menstruation. It doesn't mean, by the way, that she's actively menstruating now. It means that we know that she's a woman who menstruates, right? So again, Rachel lends the garment to her, gets the garment, there's a kesem on the garment. What's the halacha, Rabbi Osai? Rachel could attribute it to the nochris. Why? Why? Because she's not compromising her. On the flip side, Rachel lends out her garment to Leah. Leah had an emission on Sunday, right? Rachel lends her the garment on Monday, where it's her Tahar day, right? She's observing a clean day. Rachel gets the garment back. Rachel finds a stain. Could Rachel attribute that stain to Leah? No. Why not? Because we'll say if she attributes that stain to Leah, then what happens, Rabbi Osai? Then ultimately, again, that causes Leah to restart her Naki day. Same thing with Shiva Nikiyim. Now, Rabbi Osai, and the result of that is that Halacha Lemaisa, they'll both be Tameo. So Rabbi Osai, but bottom line is, Halacha Lemaisa, the rules of Taliyah say that Rachel could attribute the stain that she finds on a garment to the woman to whom she lent the garment out, as long as what? That attribution does not halachically compromise the woman to whom the stain is being attributed to. Good. So we'll say, the Gemara goes weiter. Shalosh, Rabbi Nechemia. So we'll remember again, Rabbi Nechemia said that halacha lemaisa, whenever a woman finds a kesem on an item that is not mekabel tumah, ultimately what? The kesem is not tamei. So says the Gemara, Amrav Masna, my time, Rabbi Nechemia. What's Rabbi Nechemia's logic? He quotes over here the pasuk from Yeshaya. The pasuk says, "V'nikasa la'aretz teishev." Kaven sheyashva la'aretz niksa. Once ultimately again she sits on the ground, ultimately again she is nikia. Which Rabbi said we darshan to mean, just as the earth is not mekabel tuma, so too again if she sees blood on any item that is not mekabel tuma, she is totally tahora. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rabbi Chanina, mitara haya Rabbi Nechemia afilu ba'achori kli cheres. Rabbi Nechemia even was metarbo say that if there was blood on the back of a klicheres, she is tahora, or the klicheres is tahora. Pshita, or she is tahora, the klicheres, both are tahora. It's obvious. So remember again, how is the klicheres makabel tuma? Only mitocho, only on the inside, right? A klicheres cannot be makabel tuma on the outside. So of course, if there's dam nida, if there's dam on the outside of the klicheres, according to Rabbi Nechemia, if she sees blood of something that is not makabel tuma, ultimately again, she is tahora. What I have thought, lig zorgabo atutocho. I say I might have thought that maybe we should be concerned that if your metara blood that is on the outside of the kli, you may come to what be metara blood on the inside of the kli. Kamash malon no. Amar Abaye, metara hayu Rabbi Nechemia. We'll say just some more examples of this. Metara Rabbi Nechemia b'matlonio sheman shalosh al shalosh. So we'll say similar. Rabbi Nechemia said that if a woman saw blood on a piece of cloth that is less than 3 finger breadths by 3 finger breadths. That ultimately, again, she's not tamei. I will say, why not? Because such a cloth that is so small doesn't have the status of a beged. Why? Lo chazyan, lo laniim, lo lashin. I will say, it's not usable for anyone. So such a cloth so small doesn't have the status of a beged. If it doesn't have the status of a beged, then halacha l'maaseh, it's not mekabel tumah. If it's not mekabel tumah, the Rabbi Nechemia has taught us that what? She cannot become a nida through any type of blood seen on that garment. Darish Rabbi Chiya bar Rav Masna Mishvei Darav Halacha Kreb Nechemia. The Halacha Pasuk Nechemia will say that ultimately a woman cannot become a nida if she sees dam on anything that is not mekabel tuma. Amar Li Rav Nachman Abba Tani Maisa. My father said over a story. Told over a story. What happened? So Maisa Balef Nechachamim. B'timum, I should say differently. Amli Rav Nachman, Abba Tani. My father taught the following thing. Mais Abalafnei Chachamim. There was an episode that came before the Chachamim. And what? B'timum. And they were metameif. I'm about to say what this sounds like. What was the story over here? The story was that a woman came with damnida that she saw on an item that was not mekabel tuma. And the rabbis paskin that she was a nida. Which sounds like what I'm about to say. That the halacha does not follow Rabbi Nechemia. V'at amrit halacha k'Rabbi Nechemia. Right? And how can you say? How can you say? So remember again, there's Rabbi Nachman saying, my father told me a story that when this case came up in front of the Chacham, they passed him that she's Tmeya. And yet, you're saying that halacha follows Rabbi Nechemia. So Gemara says, by the way, Mahi, well, what was the case you're talking about over here? Here we go. The Sanya, Shtei Noshim Shayu Tochnos Berechayim. It's a very interesting case. Two women were working a handmill together. So we'll say, you know how a handmill works, right? Of course, right? You push it. That's pretty much it, right? That's the whole thing, right? So ultimately, again, right? It's a mill. It's a mill that has a bar that comes out of it, and you push the mill. We'll say, as opposed to a water mill. This is a very important detail. As opposed to a water mill, right? A water mill is powered by water. So by water. So we'll say. So this is a handmill, right? So watch this. So two women were pushing the handmill. V'nimtza dam tachas hapnimis. So let's say, now what happened over here? Now, blood was found by where the inner one stood. So let's say, so obviously, the way it works is, so you have two women standing, they're both pushing the bar. We'll call it one stands inside being closer to the mill itself, One stands outside. There was blood found underneath where the inner woman was. Right? The inner woman was. So the Gemara said, listen to this. Tachas apanimis. What's the halacha? Let me see it differently. So what blood was found by where the inner woman was. What's the halacha? Shtei antineos. We'll say in that case, both women will be tameos. Now, why are both women tameos? Look at Rashi. Shtei antineos. So the way it works is, over the course of the pushing of the mill, you go round and round. So over time, ultimately, again, the one who starts out on the outer position, often just moves her way in, to the point that she ends up very close to the inner one. Therefore, if you find blood where the inner one was standing, it's just as probable that what? That blood came from who? From the outer one as well. Therefore, both are tameos. On the flip side, tachas achitzona, if you find blood from where the outer woman was standing, then what? Achitzona tamea v'apnimis tahora. Right? Then ultimately, only the outer woman is tamea, the inner woman is tahora. We'll say, why is that? Why is that? Because apparently, just the way it worked is, the inner one always stayed on the inside. Right? She always stayed on the inside. So I'll say, I think also makes sense, like if you think about it, when you're going round and round, so it makes sense that as you keep going round and round, you gravitate a bit more towards the center, right? Good.
Force pulls it.
Good. It's true. I'm not asking you, right? I'm telling you, right? So I'll say, so again, right? So the point over here is, again, it wasn't, it's just the mitzias, right? The outer woman would just gravitate towards the inside, and the inner woman would not gravitate out. So therefore, again, if you find blood by the inside, it's possible that it came from both of them. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, both are tameos. If you find dam by the outside woman, only the outside woman is tamei, or by where the outside woman would have been, the inside one is not, because she does not venture out there. What happens, bein sayim, but what happens if it's found somewhere in the middle of the two women, or somewhere in the middle, then what's the halacha? Shtei and tameos. Ultimately, again, both are tameos. So interestingly enough, now remember again, what's interesting over here is where are you finding blood? Where are you finding blood over here? So bepashtos, it's on the ground. And yet what do you see over here? They're talking about tameos, which indicates to us what? That not everybody passing like Rabbi Nechemiah. You're finding blood on something that is not mekabel tumah, right? And therefore, again, they're still declaring it tameh. So we'll say, this is just the point. Rav Nachman said, you're saying halacha follows Rabbi Nechemiah. My father taught about stories where ultimately, again, there was blood on something that wasn't mekabel tumah, and they're still declaring it ultimately tameh. Another case. Hayamaisa v'nim sadam asvasa shalom bati. There was once a case where they found blood on the ledge of the bathtub. Right by this, but now this is by a communal bathhouse. Right, they found blood by the edge of the bathtub, or we'll say not or, and also on an olive branch. So we'll say, so this must have been a case. Case number one is obviously where the woman is going into the bathhouse to bathe. Case number two, she's doing something with olives, and while she's doing that, they found blood on the olive branch. So we'll say, what's that? B'shal shema sikos es hatanur. At a time, ultimately, again, where they were firing up the ovens. So we'll say, so the olive branch was being used ultimately for what? For fuel, for the fire. Now, an olive branch is not mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, b'maisav necham v'tamum. And we'll say, the episode came before the chachamim, and what? Apparently, they knew there was a particular woman in the area of this olive branch, and they declared her tameh. And we'll say, what do you see from here? That a woman can become tameh through blood that is on something that is not mekabel tumah. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Tanoihi. It's machlokes tanoim. This sign, Rabbi Yaakov Metame, Rabbi Nechemiah Metayer. The Shabbos say, Enochinam, you're right. This is a machlokes tanoim. Rabbi Yaakov says that even dam that is an item that is not mekabel tumah is still what Shabbos say. She can become a nida through it. And Rabbi Nechemiah says, no, she can't, based on the pasuk that he quoted before. The horu chachamim ki Rabbi Nechemiah. And Abbas say, so it's a machlokes tanoim, but the chachamim paskind like Rabbi Nechemiah, i.e., that a woman cannot become a nida through blood that appears on an item that is not mekabel tumah. And I will say, that is indeed how we paskin halacha lemaisa. And I will say, this goes all the way back to the beginning of this parak. The beginning of the last parak, right? Of a woman who sits on the ground and finds blood on the ground. She is not mekabel tumah. I'm sorry, she does not become a nida, because we'll say we paskin that any show of blood that comes up on something that's not mekabel tumah does not make her a nida. Definitive halacha. Mishnah. We'll say incredible. Shalosh nashim shayishenos b'mita achos. Three women sleeping in the same bed. And what happened? V'nim sadam tachos achos mehen, and they find blood by one of the women. So we'll say, what's talocha? Kulan tameos. Everyone is tamei. Everyone is tamei. And I will say, now ultimately, again, why is everyone tamei? Because I will say, remember again, first of all, in the course of a bed, people move around, right? So therefore, again, we'll see. Batka achos mehen. So if one of the women did a bedika, v'nim says tameo. And I will say, it turns out that there's blood on her bedika cloth. Then what? He tmea ushtein Torah. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, in that case, where one of the women does a bedika and she finds blood, then what? We could attribute the blood in the bed to her. So we'll say, so remember again, if no one's actively bleeding now, all of them are tmeos. One of the women does a bedika, she's bleeding, we could attribute the stain to her. Vitolos zu bazu. We'll see what this means in the Gemara. Ultimately, again, they could attribute the blood one to the other. We'll see what that means. And I will say, if the women in question were not ru'uya liros. So we'll say, so what does that mean? Or if they were not at the stage where they were seeing dam. So we'll say, so for example, we'll see, let's say they were all pregnant, or they were all nursing, in situations where they are misulekes damim. We generally assume a pregnant woman does not become a nida, right? A nursing woman does not become a nida. So in that case, where they were all pregnant, all nursing, all ruas, like Rashi, him lo haya ru'uyos, Rashi says. Look at Rashi just before v'tolos zubazu. Rashi's big gemara mafarishla shim haisa achas mu'uberes. So we'll say, so let me just clarify these cases. Case number one in the Mishnah was three women in the bed, you find blood underneath one of them, all of them are tameos. Case one. Case two, one of them does a bedika, finds blood, we assume that the blood came from her, the other two are tahoros. Case number three, tolos zubazu, that ultimately, again, let's say two of the women are pregnant, one is not. It sounds like what the Mishnah is saying over here is that the pregnant ones, who are considered to be misulekes tam, who don't normally bleed, attribute the bleeding to who? To the non-pregnant one. Case number four, in the hayaru unyan liros, they both say, all of the women, let's say all three were pregnant, right? All three were nursing. So ultimately, again, the Mishnah says, Rowan Osan, Ki Elohein Ru'uyos. We look at them as if they are indeed fit to bleed. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Amarav Yudah, Amarav. We'll say just a few more minutes. So, Vahusha Bad Ka'atzma Kishir Veses. So, this is very interesting. Now, when the Gemara says over here, when the Mishnah said that Allah Chalamaisa, three women in the bed, they find blood. So, what did the Mishnah say? First case was they're all tameos. Second case was, if one of them does a bedika, and ultimately what? One of them does a bedika, and finds blood on her bedika. So what's the halacha? She's tameo, the rest are tahoros. The Gemara now is qualifying that case. And says, when is that true? Vahu shebat ka'atzma kashir veses. That is true, Abosai, when what? When the woman who did the bedika what we call kashir veses. And Abosai, we saw this before. Shir veses means that what? Immediately. She does the bedika immediately after finding the stain. So there's an immediacy there. To which the Gemara says, Sovalaki bar pada. This reflects the view of Rabbi Parda house of the Amar, Kol Sheba'lo Bechatos, Taro Se'atameo. So we'll say, any case, this is as follows. This is talking about a case, ultimately, again, where let's say she has relations and finds blood. So any case where she would find the blood immediately, therefore, her husband would be chayiv achatos, her taros are tameos, which means Rabbi say ultimately, again, she is assumed to be in a state of nida. Baila ba'asham taloi, any case where ultimately, again, her husband would be subject to an asham taloi, which Rabbi say means that she finds the blood not immediately. Rabbi say, remember, we had all of these cases, esyom, la'achar esyom, finding the blood immediately, doing a bedika in bed after relations, the amount of time it takes to get off the bed, all of those cases we saw before. Baila ba'asham taloi, any case where she did the bedika in a delayed way, that her husband would only be liable to an asham taloi, taroset tulios. So to any taros that she touched would also be safek tameh. Baila potter, but I will say if she did the bedika much later on after the act of relations, to the point that even if she saw blood, there would be no karbanic liability for her husband. Taros ser tahoros. Her taros ultimately again would be fine as well. Raboshia Amar. So what it's saying over here is this reflects that view. That in order to go ahead and attribute the dam, in the case of three women in the bed, and one of them does a bedika, finds blood. The Mishnah says you could attribute that blood to her. That's only if what? She's doing a bedika immediately. immediately. Rabbi Yoshia Amar, Afilu Baila Bechatos Tarose Tuluyos. And Rabbi Yoshia says, no, even in the case of Osai, where the husband ultimately again is subject to a chatos, because there's a concern, there's a suffix that he was Bo'al Nida, ultimately again her taros are still suffix. So Bishlama, I understand in that case over here, Bishlama Hasam, Emor Shamish Akvela Dam. So Rabbi Yoshia, in the case of relations, even if she doesn't find the blood immediately, there's a reason for that, which is we assume that as a result of the act of relations, so ultimately, again, the man's aver kind of kept the blood inside. Therefore, it only comes out in a little bit of a delay. Aval hacha, im isa dahavi dam manakve. But ultimately, again, over here in a case like this, if she was actively bleeding, then what would have prevented the blood from coming out any earlier? To which the Gemara says, Mashal, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmiya, Mashal Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia's Mashal is as follows. Mashal Rabbi Yoshia, L'ma'ad Rabbi Doma, L'yelad v'zakin shayim ha'alchim b'derech. This can be compared to an old man and a young child who are walking on the pathway. Calls man shahayu b'derech, anytime they were traveling, right, on the journey, yelad shor lavo. So we'll say, while they're traveling, or essentially what it means is, while they're traveling outside of the city, where the child does not know the way, he stays with the old man. Nichnesu le'ir, once they get into the city and the child knows his way, then what? Yelad memaher lavo. Ultimately, again, the child travels off on his own way. Rabbi, so we'll say, what that means is as follows, that ultimately, again, so the mashal over here is the old man is the male aver, right? When the male aver is there, it keeps the child, which we reference to Dam Nida, from coming out. But ultimately, again, once the male aver is no longer there, then the child goes its own way. How the Gemara Rabbi Moshe Rabbi Moshe Lamad Avad Doma. Another example is Moshe Lamad Avad Doma. The Adam Shnosin Etzba Ba'ayin, like a man who puts his finger in his eye. Kozman She Etzba Ba'ayin Dimashoa. So it says apparently when the finger is in the eye, you don't tear as much. But Notala Etzba, the moment you take the finger out, then what? Dima Mimaheres Lavo. Ultimately, again, the tears come flowing. So the idea over here being, just in the idea, is that halacha lemaisa, when a woman sees dam after bia, there is a little bit, ultimately, again, of a window. Meaning there's a window for her to do the bediga and still create a halachic reality of that she was a nida during relations. She didn't see the blood till later. The assumption is because even if there was blood there, the act of relations kept it inside. What the Imam is just trying to highlight over here in this case is that in order to go ahead and in this case of the three women in the bed, one of the women does a bedika, and ultimately finds blood, that bedika would have to be done immediately. Why? Because if she found blood immediately, then Einachinami, she's the nida. But if it was some level of delay, then Rabbi Yoshia, again, remember, there's no excuse for that delay. Because there's no relations happening over here, there's no excuse for that delay. Therefore, the only way for her to save the other two women would be if she were to do a bedika immediately after discovering the blood in the bed. If she were to then go ahead and find blood from herself as well, she would be halachically the source of the dam, and the other two women would be fine. All right, Rabbi Yoshia, we'll stop over here. We're going to pick up with this tomorrow. I will say, just a reminder, for Hanukkah, remember again, we're starting the daf at 5:45, Shacharis is at 6:30. Thank you. That's like a good mushroom.